Well, shalom, y'all. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, we are going to be getting into this week's Torah portion again, and we are in the middle of the book of Genesis as we continue to read through the lives of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this week, we're going to be talking about Joseph. You know, Abraham is called the father of our faith. So all who believe in Yeshua, we look unto Abraham. He is our example. But not only is Abraham an example unto us, but so does Isaac and Jacob and Joseph as well can serve as an example unto us of what it means to be a person who walks in righteousness, who walks in covenant with Yahweh. And Abraham was our first example that we can really look in Scripture as we see a man who left behind the land of his fathers. He left behind the pagan ways of his father's family, and he embraced the ways of Yahweh. Scripture tells us that Abraham walked in the laws and in the commandments of Yahweh. So he walked in obedience to Yahweh's word. So his faith that he had produced obedience in his life. We also see that Isaac was a person who walked in covenant with Yahweh as well. So did Jacob. We talked about Jacob last week, and we talked about how he was one who found the promise of Yahweh, something worth fighting for. And so we want to be people who study the lives of the faith of those before us, and learn the lessons and see what we can gather, the wisdom that we can gather from their lives and apply it unto our lives. So this week, we're going to be jumping into the life of Joseph, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 37 as we continue to look at these men's lives and just kind of the things that they went through and what they mean to us. So Genesis chapter 37 and verse 1. Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpha, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age. Also he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peacefully to him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, "Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were, binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaf stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf." And his brother said to him, "Shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. Then he dreamed still another dream, and he told it to his brothers and said, "Look, I have dreamed another dream, and this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me." So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said to him, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?" And his brothers envied him, but his father kept the matter in mind. So this is the passage about Joseph's dream. So there is some things that we can kind of stop and think about and kind of wonder about this process. Now, the first thing I kind of want to mention here in this passage is Joseph appears to be different than his brothers. Number one, we see that his brothers are out in the field, but Joseph is not with them. As we also continue to read through Scripture and reread about the brothers, we see a little bit of struggles with the brothers and how they may have been a little bit of a rowdy bunch, or maybe a not so righteous group of men, pretty quick maybe to follow their emotions or their anger or things that they have going on in their lives. Of course, we see in scripture of how Judah deals unrighteously with Tamar. Of course, we see later how the brothers also would treat Joseph because they envied Joseph. We see here in this passage that they are walking in envy, which of course is not walking in the righteousness of Yahweh. That is not walking the fruit of his spirit, but envy is a result of us walking in the flesh. So they are envious of Joseph. And we see here of how Joseph would return a bad report of his brothers unto his father. So if he's returning a bad report, then his brothers must have been up to something that was no good. But Joseph appears to be a righteous one, one who sees and understands what is right, and is one who's willing to stand up for what is right. So maybe that's why Joseph is not out in the fields with his brothers, because he's the righteous one. He's the one who's not going to do what is wrong. And they don't want the righteous one hanging out with them so that he can go home and tell daddy on them, right? And so he seems to be separate from his brothers. We also see that his dad, Jacob, or Israel, sees Joseph as different than his brothers. And the fact that he gives him the tunic of many colors. Scripture says that Israel loved Joseph more than the rest of his children. So Israel favored Joseph. So the question that we can kind of ask ourselves in this is, why did Israel love Joseph more than all his brothers? Is it because he was the firstborn of Rachel? Or could there be more to it? Could it be that Joseph reminded him more of himself, one who was walking in that which was righteous, one who was willing to walk in covenant with God, with Yahweh? And there's something about Joseph, too, that's even different with him than with his brothers when it comes in terms of Yahweh. When Yahweh needs to have a person set apart to basically save the world, also to save this family, he chooses Joseph to be the one to do that. He doesn't choose any of the other brothers. So is there, you know, scripture's not telling us a whole lot here about what happened in the life of Joseph and his brothers before this scripture, before this passage. But what we see through scriptures, we can kind of see this concept that Joseph appears to be the faithful one and not his brothers. And so Yahweh chooses Joseph to be the one who would fulfill or to carry out this task that he needed to have done. He was the one that he would entrust, that he felt that he could entrust. So he comes and he gives Joseph this dream. Now, tradition would say that it was somewhere around 22 years. It took 22 years for this dream that Joseph dreamt to actually be fulfilled. So from the time that Joseph dreamed this dream until the time that his brothers would actually bow down to him in Egypt was 22 years. That's how long Joseph had to hold on to this dream, or as you could say, this word or this promise that was given to him from God. 22 years. So the question is, why did Yahweh make Joseph wait 22 years? Why did he give him the dream at this moment in time? Joseph, as we're going to see as we go on, knows that ultimately the steps that played out in his life after he told his brothers about this dream, which wasn't a very wise decision for him to do, was all things that were ordained by Yahweh himself in order for Yahweh to bring salvation to Jacob's family and to the rest of the world. So it's through this process that Joseph will go through these next 22 years that would put Joseph in the place to be ready, to be in the right position in order to fulfill the purpose so that the dream could be fulfilled, the word that was spoken of him could be fulfilled, and also for Joseph to go through the process to make him that man who was trustworthy, to be second in charge to Pharaoh. So it's this process now that Joseph is going to go through. And that is kind of what I want us to talk about and to think about and to meditate upon this week in this teaching, is to think about how 22 years Joseph waited for that word to be fulfilled in his life. So no matter how long you have been waiting for a word to be fulfilled in your life, don't give up. Hold on to that word. Keep going through the process, because if it has not been fulfilled yet, it's probably because you're going through the process of being prepared, to being set in place, to be in the right place, to be the man or the woman that he needs you to be in order to fulfill the word which he has given unto you. I believe he also received the promise so far in advance, so that as Joseph would play out and go through the steps that he needed to go through in order to fulfill the purpose that was being given unto him, he needed this dream, this word, to hold on to as hope, as something to help him persevere through the trials and the persecution and the things that would come along his way that just would not seem fair. So that's why he gives us his word, and that's why he gives us his promises. So we can hold on to something. So we have a promise, something to give us hope as we walk through this dark world, because we're going to face trials. We're going to go through testing and trials and the making of the man and the woman, just like Joseph did on this earth, because he is interested in refining us. He wants us to be set apart. He wants us to be holy just as he is holy. He wants us to be perfect just as he is perfect. Now, we cannot achieve that perfection on our own. We cannot walk it out and accomplish it on our own strength, but it's going through his process. It's being willing to go through the tests and the trials and the refining fire that he brings into our life that we are able to be perfected. We're perfected by him, not by ourselves. So let's look at Genesis chapter 45 and verse 3. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father still live?" But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. Now, this is a scripture here where Joseph is actually revealing himself to his brothers in Egypt. Okay, verse 4. And Joseph said to his brothers, "Please come near to me." So they came near. Then he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. But now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land. And there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine. In this scripture, what I really see is Joseph appears, makes himself known unto his brothers. Joseph shows us here that he had a clear understanding of the big picture. So he, at this moment in time, fully understands why he went through everything he went through. And he even tells his brothers, it wasn't you who sold me into slavery, but it was all part of God's plan. Imagine the forgiveness it takes for an individual to look at somebody. Because it's very easy for Joseph to have said, it is your fault that I got locked up in prison in Egypt. And before that, it's your fault that I got sold into slavery. So the land's in famine. He could have acted according to his flesh. This is where we see he is different than his brothers. Because he responds in kindness to his family when his family did not treat him in kindness. They sold him into slavery. But he says, I'm going to reach out and I'm going to help you. He could have said, I'm not going to give you any food. He was in position to do that. He was in position to bring salvation to him and his family, to his brothers and his family. And he chose to bring salvation. Because he saw that he was put in that position by God in order to do that. So that's one of the things that we need to learn from Joseph, is that ability to stop in our lives and to be able to look at what's going on instead of blaming people around us for what's happening, but praying and seeking our Heavenly Father and seeing what He's up to, what He's doing. Now, there are things that we go through because of our poor decisions, but there's also things that He ordains in our life that happens in our lives because He is shaping us and He is guiding our steps and our direction. God brought Jacob to Pharaoh through a certain road, you could say. There was a road that he took. And the road to get Jacob before Pharaoh included his brothers being envious over him and selling him into slavery. And also dealt with him once being sold into slavery, having a false report given about him and being thrown into prison because of it. Now, let's look at Genesis chapter 39 and verse 2. And this is talking about Joseph in Potiphar's house. Once he's been sold into slavery and now he is serving in Potiphar's house. Yahweh was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that Yahweh was with him, and that Yahweh made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that Yahweh blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of Yahweh was on all that he had in the house and in the field. So here we get the first glimpse of how Joseph responded to the first thing that happened in his life, which was unfair. He receives this dream of his brothers and his father and his mother bowing down unto him. And he tells his brothers, they get angry, they get mad at him, they throw him in a pit in the ground, and then they pull him out and they sell him to these men going across the land on the way to Egypt, and they ultimately sell him unto Potiphar. So does Joseph start whining about the situation he's in? Is he throwing a pity party for himself? No. What does he do? It shows that Joseph stayed true to the character and the man that I believe he was before this all happened. The very person he was that set him apart from his brothers. And the fact that he went to work in this Egyptian's house and Potiphar's house, and he was successful at what he did. And he was so successful at what he did that Potiphar put him in charge. He made him an overseer of his house because he saw the faithfulness that was in Joseph. And part of that faithfulness and part of the success that Joseph had was in the fact that Yahweh was with Joseph. So Joseph, I believe, even though he was in Egypt, knew that Yahweh was still with him. And I believe even though he saw himself separated from his family, I don't think Joseph is giving up or giving doubt on the dream. He may not understand how this dream is going to be fulfilled, but I believe Joseph is still holding on to it as hope. And because he's holding on to this, he's still holding on to his relationship with Yahweh as well. And so he has the favor of Yahweh with him. That is the most powerful thing that we can have as individuals on this earth. You know, he wants to show his favor towards us. So when we are people who walk in covenant with him, he will pour out his favor upon us just like he did Joseph. And we can be like Joseph in this world. We can be very successful men and women where we stand out, where we are set apart from the rest of our co-workers, because his favor is upon us. So, but the most important thing to understand here is when Joseph was treated poorly, he remained faithful and true to who he was and to his character, and he remained a righteous person, even serving in the house of Potiphar. And when Potiphar's wife would make an advance on him, he would flee from that advance to walk in righteousness before Yahweh. And upon him turning down Potiphar's wife, what? He is falsely accused. And upon being falsely accused, we now read in our next passage here in Genesis chapter 39 and verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But Yahweh was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because Yahweh was with him. And whatever he did, Yahweh made it prosper. So here, upon Joseph choosing to do what was right, choosing to flee from the sexual immorality, he finds himself now being falsely accused and thrown into prison. Here's another chance where Joseph could say, I am being treated unfairly. I'm just going to give up on all of this. And he could have chosen to act according to his flesh, but he doesn't. He remains faithful to his character. He remains faithful to walking in righteousness with Yahweh. And even in the prison, it says that Yahweh was with him. So here he is being treated unfairly. And what was his response? To go into the prison and to be found faithful by the prison guards there. And so they put him in authority in the prison as well, just as he was put in authority in Potiphar's house. And it was in this prison that we have the baker and the cupbearer who dreams a dream. And they tell this dream unto Joseph. Okay, so here we see where all this is going. In order for him to be able to interpret their dreams, he first had to be in that prison. And he had to have an attitude to be willing to stay faithful in that prison, not to have a bad attitude about what was going on. Because he could have chosen to have a bad attitude, and he could have chosen not to interpret the dream of the cupbearer and the baker. Had he done that, he never would have ended up standing before Pharaoh, and then ultimately ruling as second in charge to Pharaoh, being in position to bring salvation to his family and the rest of the world. So it was his willingness to remain faithful in the prison that allowed him to interpret the next dream before Pharaoh. So we need to be careful as we go through the testings and the trials. And when things may seem unfair, we need to be careful on how we respond. Because it could be the very thing that puts us before Pharaoh. It could be the very thing that puts us in the right place we need to be in to fulfill the word that Yahweh has given us. We need to remain faithful no matter how small the task seems to be. He remained faithful as a slave to Potiphar. He remained faithful being locked up in the prison. He remained faithful in being willing to interpret the dream of two people in prison with him, two fellow inmates. Joseph, when he chose to interpret the dreams at the beginning, I don't think he knew what the end result was going to be. Now, of course, we know he tells the cupbearer, you know, be sure to mention me to Pharaoh when you go back to Pharaoh. So imploring upon him, but this concept and this idea for Joseph was not thinking of him going before Pharaoh so that he could serve as second in charge behind Pharaoh. I believe it was Joseph's attempt to try to get out of being locked up unjustly. So, of course, the cupbearer doesn't remember right away, but Joseph still remains faithful in that prison. Because when Pharaoh dreams a dream, because see, now it's the right time. Now is the time that God has ordained for Joseph to stand before Pharaoh. So Pharaoh dreams a dream. The cupbearer tells Pharaoh, I remember this Hebrew who was in the prison, who I dreamed a dream. And the baker dreamed a dream, and he interpreted that dream correctly. So Pharaoh calls for Joseph. And it's at this moment, again, Joseph has a choice. Everything he has done up to this point has not led him closer to the word or the promise or the dream that he had been given. But every time, something seemed to have gotten worse. So he had a choice. He could be sour about the events of the past and how unjust it's been and how he's been forgotten in this prison. Or he could remain faithful. And he could interpret Pharaoh's dream. And of course, he interprets Pharaoh's dream with the help of God. And because Joseph did that, he remained faithful. He persevered through all the things that he had gone through. He now was given favor with Pharaoh. Pharaoh elevates him and makes him second in charge. And then we see the passage where his brothers come to Egypt for food. And we read about how he reveals himself to his brothers and how his brothers bow down to him. That which he had held on to, that which was hope, that I believe was hope for him as he served in Potiphar's house, as he was locked up unjustly in prison and then forgotten by the cupbearer. While in prison, he held on to that. And because he held on to that, he continued to do that which was right. And because he continued to do that which was right, waiting 22 years, the fulfillment of the dream occurred. And he was positioned to do the work that Yahweh had assigned for him to do. So let us read a passage here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 and see what Paul says here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Yeshua Messiah, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Brothers and sisters, let us not be afraid to go through the tribulation, to go through perseverance, so that character may be built in our lives. And through that character, may we have hope. And may we hope in Him and in His Word. Hope means to have an expectation of something to be done. Okay, so let us have an expectation that the love of God will be poured out in our hearts, that the Holy Spirit is with us, and that we will walk in His glory. We will see His glory. We will see His word fulfilled in our lives. So no matter what we have to persevere through, let that perseverance build character in our lives and expect to see the word of God fulfilled in our lives. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week. So come back now and shalom, y'all.